What a good crowd on Wednesday night. It's certainly good to be back in 9th and Main. Been traveling quite a bit, and it's always good to be here. Subject matter for tonight's invitation is working together in the home to help the church. Working together in the home to help the church. The theme this month is working together. And so we're going to emphasize the home and how that looks from Scripture. Three quick points. And I know that if you understand these three principles of Scripture, you'll better appreciate how then working together can take place. The first principle is the home by nature is designed to be procreative. I want to emphasize that again. The home by design is to be procreative. Now what does that mean? In Genesis chapter 1, when God created man and woman, He stated this very fact in Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." Now notice that. The home is to be procreative. Procreation. It is to be fruitful and multiply. It is to be a home with children, if that is your blessing. I understand that that's a challenge, but it is nonetheless designed with that in mind. Psalm 127 talks about the nature of the home and how it is a blessing and a heritage of God, our children. Now, I want you to think a little bit deeper, though, about the principle of being procreative. Further elaborated in this passage in verse 28 is that we replenish the earth and subdue it. Now, I find that interesting because Elon Musk lately has been talking about the necessity of having more children, while some environmentalists are saying we need to have less children because of carbon emissions and the worry of destruction of the world. But what's interesting to me is that Elon Musk is not a godly man. But he's a natural man enough to understand something about procreation. And yet our own people seem to misunderstand that. Now here is a demographic fact of life. If you don't have children, you will not procreate. You will annihilate yourselves. So as much as we may have racial tensions in our country over whatever the problems may be, I can make this absolute statement. Those who are having children will be the dominant race one day, if you want to talk about races. And so we shouldn't be whining and complaining if we're not having babies. And then especially godly babies, because that's the intent. Having babies with a home governed by God. And that brings me to my second point. The home is then ordered or ordained by God. To be procreative, that seems quite natural because people seem to be, they like to make babies. Maybe that's the fun part. The hard part is to recognize that it's ordered by God. It's ordained by God, and that is where we are messed up today. And that's why the church is suffering today. It's why the world is suffering today. So listen to this. That passage in Genesis 1:28 says this, that the earth needs to be subdued and dominion needs to be over fish and over fowl, birds, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said for man, a procreative mindset is to have dominion by an ordered God. The order there is from God. Dominion there has to do with authority. And yet authority here is delegated from God. Did you catch that? That authority comes from God. And so it's natural for men to be husbandmen or farmers or ranchers, to take the ground and till it, to do something with it. Because guess what? The dirt does some pretty neat things when you learn how to use it. How many of you like eating vegetables and salads? It seems like today we're, a bunch of vegans and stuff. What would you do without dirt? You know, God gave us that. Gave us water. Now we have to do it hydroponically or something because we don't want the dirt. I don't know. But nonetheless, it's all because God gave us the ability to have dominion over the creation. Now, he also placed order in the family, didn't he? In Matthew 19, here's another principle to understand. Not only are we to be procreative and understand that we are an ordained family, in Matthew 19:4, Jesus said, in referring back to these passages in Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 2, in the beginning, God made them what? Man and female, male and woman, male and female. Now, what does that then mean? Who's the head of the home? Why? Because we're a bunch of domineering, mean guys? No, because we love our ladies. Because God gave them to us. And God gave us the responsibility to be men and to love our ladies as then his son loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, it's an ordained thing. When we understand the order of this home, the family, how much better will it work? Now look at what everybody's trying to do today to the home, the family. Well, we're just trying to change. I saw yesterday where there is a couple in a European country right now, a man and a woman, and guess what they're wanting to do? They got a child too. The man's wanting to be a woman and the woman's wanting to be a man. So guess what they've decided they're going to do? They're already going through the physical transitions. And I'm thinking about that poor little child. They're going, what a bunch of chaos that God never created. He made the home to be beautiful. How's that home going to help the society they are in or the world we live in? Because it's out of order, isn't it? God made a man and a woman, and that ends the matter on any of this transgender nonsense. Thirdly, and finally, the home being designed to be procreative, it needs to be ordered, ordained, organized by God. Thirdly, it is built to serve. Do you remember Joshua 24? Now, isn't this an outstanding passage of Scripture when you look at this one word in Joshua 24? And here is what made Joshua such a mighty man, a powerful general, a man that won and couldn't stand to be beat. You remember the battle at Ai? Because of the sin of Achan, and they couldn't take that inferior town of Ai because of the sin of Achan, but yet they were able to demolish Jericho in the previous chapter in Joshua 6. And Joshua's just rending, and he's just can't understand this. Well, we learn what happens there, but in Joshua 24, you want to see what made Joshua so successful? Notice this passage in verse 14 and 15. And look at the home and wonder in amazement at how powerful Joshua's home was. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. This is Joshua's commencement statement for his retirement, if you will. He says, fear the Lord and serve him. Look at that word, serve. In sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make your mind up. Quit being double-minded and unstable. Make your mind up. Whether the gods which your father served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, serve something, but you need to make your mind up. But here's what he says. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The home is built for service. And service toward whom? To the Lord. And the God-fearing home that raises its children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, understanding why procreation is necessary. You're replicating and repeating godliness, faithfulness, strength, ordination, order, authority, dominion, subduing the proper things, preparing young men to be warriors, to be able to serve and to fight. We've got a bunch of cowards today that won't speak up, speak out, say anything. And Joshua says, As for me and my house, my home, we will continue to serve the Lord. And the word serve there means exactly what it means. To work, to till, to labor, to toil. And so I'll make a few points of application and I'll sit down because I'm excited to be here. But I'm so thankful I had this lesson. But we have destroyed young boys from learning how to serve because they say, well, what do you mean, brother? They ain't serving. They're not answering the call. They're not sacrificial. Now, I'm going to let my wife tell you the rest of this story, but last weekend we were in Arlington taking a little family vacation. I about started a war with Mexico because I was mad. But I ain't going to say no more about that. But I ain't afraid to fight, is what I'm saying. And I had principle to fight. But anyway, I was preaching the gospel, Brother Daniel. I really was. We got video game boys. We got effeminate boys because they hadn't been taught how to serve. And service teaches us strength. We got young ladies that have been left fatherless that don't understand the love of a father, and they're confused about who to love and who not to love, the affection that a father gives. I'm so brokenhearted when I think about this stuff because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. The home is to be procreative. Have babies and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord if you can. Gene and I struggled having babies. So I'm not sitting here telling you, but we worked through it. We found solutions if we could. And we're so thankful God gave us the three children we have. But we're determined to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them not to fear what man may do unto them, but to go into this world courageously and be a woman of God, a man of God, and to finally there serve. If we want to help the church, we're going to have to get this right. And if we'll get it right, there's no way we can't work together. We'll come together like this united force that no one can break because the Lord's on our side and He stands with us. And I know what the book of Romans teaches, and I'm confident in that. And so I want you to be confident in that too. I want you to be courageous so that you can help us in this world. And I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. As I say, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Paul said that in the book of 2 Corinthians. I repent, but I don't repent for taking up so much time. But I'm so thankful that I was able to be with you tonight and preach the gospel. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, and you know what you need to do, you need to repent of your sins. You're ready to do that. Confess the name of Christ before men publicly and be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins. Then we can help you make that decision tonight where the Lord will add you to His body, the church. Your sins will be washed away. You can walk away here tonight redeemed to now be strengthened and encouraged and live out your life with your brethren here and in the world who are faithful, serving and working together for the one cause of Christ. No greater cause than that. If we can help you make that decision, if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you let us know? Then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?